I'm Gab, he's Jules. Blue skies and frigid weather over West London. In fact, it feels like everything's kind of frozen to a halt.
Indeed.
Even football, actually, because there aren't that many stories out there, but
true.
There was a really big one, of course, Jose Mourinho sacked as coach of Roma.
Jose.
He looked a little too gleeful on that one. Jules, I have a column up on this where I go into more detail if you want to know my thoughts, but I'm going to start with your thoughts because Mourinho supporters will point to the fact that they've had a rash of injuries, to the fact that Roma are under financial fair play restrictions. They have a settlement agreement with UEFA.
Yeah.
And that the stadium was sold out, that the fans loved him.
Yeah.
And that he reached the Conference League final last year. He reached the Europa League final. So he won the Conference League last year. He reached the Europa League final this year. And many believe that he was robbed, also because he says so. Many don't believe that Roma were robbed. Why is he gone? He's only 5 points away from fourth place.
He is.
Fifth place might be enough for the Champions
League. He's still ninth. And the whole idea behind appointing him from the Friedkin family at Roma was to qualify them for the Champions League. And this is 2 years, so 2.5 seasons there. And we don't know about this season, of course, but for the first two seasons, he failed to do that. Okay, there's the European trophy. Great. Roma's first trophy in 14 years. Okay, no problem. But the football has been dire for 2.5 years. Really dire. Despite having players like Lukaku, like Dybala, like Pellegrini. Some really good talent, some youngsters. And to be fair, the only positive things maybe that he did, apart from winning the Conference League, was to give debuts to a few of the kids from the academy.
Zalewski.
Yeah, which I get that. However, on top of the football being really bad, they have the third highest wage bill in the league. So maybe maybe this is not exactly the players that you wanted, but it's still a lot of money spent on your squad. The first summer, they spent 100 million euros to get the players that he wanted. And yeah, of course, after that, even if you sell well, the following summer, you can't spend as much. So that's the reality. But I think overall, it just hasn't been good enough. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I think you make some good points. I mean, I think the financial imperative was a big one. Roma lost close to 400 million the year before, the year before that he arrived and his first season. The Friedkins have put in something like 850 million into this club.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. He knew that there were going to be financial restrictions coming in. What he did was they gambled in his first season. They already had some commitments on some players that, because they had loans with obligations to buy. They spent big on some others. But I think the Friedkins look at this and say, this is not sustainable, which is why we're not going to extend his contract. And I think they got stuck in a position where they know a lot of fans really, really love him. A lot of media really, really love him in Italy. If you leave it until June, and then you say, no, Jose, you're too expensive, we can't do it, because we lose money with you every year, you're in a situation where what if he wins the Europa League?
Yeah.
What if he finishes fourth?
Yeah,
it's not unconscionable,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And then it becomes really hard for you to say, no, sorry, we can't afford you, right? Then you're hoping that another club comes along and says, oh, I really want Jose Mourinho. And so I think they play the percentages, is like, let's make the breakdown. Let's bring in Daniele De Rossi, who is somebody who, well, obviously won't be booed and will enjoy the support of Roma fans because of what he's done for the club.
Yeah.
Clubs always do this, right?
Yeah.
And just cut it now. Because I think what they saw, and we can go down the numbers and you can read them one way or the other. You can make justifications, like you said. It's the third highest wage bill in Serie A. He's the second highest paid coach. By the way, third highest wage bill, but much closer to Inter, who are second, than Milan, who are fourth. And it's also very specific choices that you made. You made a team to build straight away, right? Even the free agents and loans that you took, people like Leandro Paredes, like Lukaku, like Dybala, these are players who come in to win straight away.
You don't
bring in Dybala and say, oh, look, we might win in 5 years' time when you're 35 and, can't walk anymore. So when you roll the dice like that, if you don't get into the Champions League and get that revenue, then you'll be stuck.
You're in trouble.
I think they look forward and they say, in a couple of years' time, how many of these players are going to be left?
Yeah, and also, remember, we were surprised when he got the job, to be fair. I don't think we expected it. We said that we felt after Spurs that he was already on his way down. He turned 61 at the end of the month, so this is a bitter birthday present for him. He won 1.7 point per game at Roma over the 2.5 years. This is the lowest ratio of his career ever.
It's actually
1.7 points. Yeah.
And in Serie A, it's 1.61, which is the lowest ratio. 1.61 points per game is the lowest points per game of any Roma managers who's coached at least 50 games since 1992.
You see? So on top of the bad football, there's bad results. So.
I want to get into this a little bit more and touch upon kind of some of the dynamics, because obviously Roma aren't Real Madrid. They don't have the global coverage that other clubs that Mourinho's been at has. Locally, I've said this before, I've written it, people who've worked in both cities have told me, there is the club with the most pressure in the world, media pressure, sort of continuous, is Real Madrid and Barcelona, you know, pretty much equal in terms of local media and attention. I think after that, I think it's Roma. Without question. I'm talking local here. They really are up in your grill continuously. So it's not an easy place to work. And Mourinho really conquered.
Yeah, but he was always going to, right? Because he's that personality.
Yes and no. I think you have that personality. He's certainly very good at winning the trust of the players. And none of the players have turned on him. Even the ones that he kind of threw under the bus have turned on him. You know, Borja Mayoral, for example, who, you know, Roma had the option of keeping him. He was on a 2-year loan. In the second year under Mourinho, he hardly played. Mourinho basically decided, oh, Borja Mayoral's no good. We'll keep him around for another year. I'll bring in Tammy Abraham, who did well at first, right?
Yeah.
And he says, Mayoral's no good, not worth it, blah, blah, blah. And now you see Borja Mayoral, he's the second leading goal scorer in Spain. So he could come back and say, yeah, I was disappointed that I never got to play, but Mourinho taught me this and that.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of people still have this loyalty. I mean, Paul Pogba probably doesn't, but So he had this dynamic where when he took over the club, and I think, again, people don't always know their history here, but the year before, under Paulo Fonseca, Roma, they were in the top four until March. They slipped down to seventh, and they reached the Europa League semifinal, where they lost to, I think it was Benfica.
Yeah.
That season, they had an absolute ton of injuries.
And they never had the investment that Jose had.
Well, this is the big thing, right? The last kind of 8 months of the season, you had a situation where the previous owner, Jim Pallotta, was in the process of selling the club. The director of football was sent away, Gianluca Petracchi. So there was no director of football. There was almost nobody in charge of the club. Paulo Fonseca really was a man alone.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reason I bring this up is people say, oh, what does it matter? Sir Alex never, you know, whatever. Like, leave Sir Alex to one side. But this is also the complaint that Mourinho had this year. Mourinho complained. He says, like, wait a minute. Like, he did have a sporting director, Thiago Pinto, who's also leaving.
Yeah.
But he said, the Friedkins are kind of absentee landlords. That's the narrative that Mourinho's put out, because they're in the States. They never speak to the media. They're far away, a bit like the Glazers. And he's like, I'm the face of the club. I have to do all the talking. I have to do everything in addition to coaching the team. They have a CEO, Lina Sokoulos, I think is her last name. But she's new, or relatively new, and whatever. And she never talks either. Thiago Pinto never talks. So you had this era of isolation, right? Mourinho's first season, like you said, they spend a lot of money. Some of that, to be fair, was money that had already been committed beforehand. And he finishes with one more point than Paulo Fonseca had the year before. And he wins the Conference League.
Yeah,
Look, Steve Nichol absolutely rubbished it when I was on the show Monday night. He said, oh, what does that mean? That you're the best of the six place teams in the big five leagues?
Technically, yes. Well, that's the league, that's the European Cup for it. Between 6th and 10th. So
it's not necessarily a great achievement.
No, but it's still a trophy. So
it's still a trophy. The fans loved it. Then, of course, last season, Tammy Abraham gets injured and so on, and you find yourself in the situation. But at every stage, with the money that they had, and again, they were limited. They had a positive net spend of about 130 million over the 2 years. But equally, I think that's also because they sold very well.
Yeah.
And they only made loan signings or free agents, just about. Other than Roger Ibanez, who I think is actually a decent player,
yeah,
but a lot of Mourinho threw, it's another one who Mourinho threw under the bus. Other than him, I don't see anybody else who they let go who, off the top of my head, who would have necessarily started and played regularly.
I agree.
And then you make this decision and you bring in people like Gini Wijnaldum last season. The influence of George Mendes, I think, is part of this narrative as well.
Of course.
Sergio Oliveira, who cost them a mint in loan fees.
Renato Sanchez.
Renato Sanchez this year is not a great look.
No.
But these are all older players. These are on loan players. And so I think when you look at it, what are you building towards?
But again, I think the whole idea, surely, with Mourinho, a very short-termist coach, because this is what he is, from the ownership was, listen, we just need to get into the Champions League. We need to get them. So the aim and very much the trophy will be the Champions League. And then we get that money. And then once we've got that money of the Champions League secured and we finish top four, then we can see, you know, where we are and build on that. The problem is, once you've missed out on it, what do you have left? We said, so you've got a super expensive wage bill, far too expensive for Roma's revenues. You've got no Champions League, as we said. Okay, you sell your stadium out, which is great, and clearly you could see the passion, and that's important. Mourinho plays 6 derbies against Lazio. 4 defeats, 1 draw, 1 win. So if you're not doing well, if you're not reaching the targets that you have, which is the Champions League, and you don't even win the derbies,
which matters.
On a bad season, this is what saves your bottom, really, is that you can't even, against the Lazio team, let's be honest, that hasn't been that great. You know, this is not the Lazio that won the title under Sven.
No, and this is another thing, right? He always points out, because look, he's always selling when he's speaking, right? He's always justifying, he's always explaining.
Yeah.
Right? So this summer, like, he started talking about all the money that Lazio spent, right? Ignoring the fact that Lazio were able to spend all this money because they sold arguably their most important player, one of the two most important players, Sergei Milinkovic-Savic, to Saudi Arabia for a ton of money.
Yeah.
And that's why then they were able to reinvest some of that. But Lazio's wage bill is a fraction of Roma's.
Completely.
And we know because we have data on the shows that wage bills are the best predictor of league finish.
Yeah.
He has been really unlucky with injuries. I also think, though, there was a sense from the ownership point of view that he was becoming a little bit erratic and a little bit out of control.
Well, all the red cards. I mean,
7 red cards in 2.5 years.
Come on.
The ban for confronting Anthony Taylor.
Which was the worst, probably, right? Is that kind of attitude. If you're an owner and you see one of your employees, especially the most important one maybe in your club, behaving like this?
And it shows you, I think, shows a lack of professionalism. Because I can deal with, in the heat of the game, and Mourinho's been sent off in the heat of the game, but this is afterwards.
It's at the airport, man.
I don't think it's the airport. I think it was the car park under the stadium, right? But you had a trophy presentation, right? You've lost. It's gone the other way. You may think that you were robbed or whatever, but to go and do this, you're only hurting your club because you're going to get slapped. You're embarrassing your club, and you're going to get slapped with that ban, which means that you can't be on the touchline. He's made other decisions. He lost his last game against Milan, obviously. He drops Rui Patricio for Milos Vilar, which Rui Patricio was supposed to be his guy, not been great since coming over, obviously shares an agent with him.
Yeah.
Earlier this year, Chris Smalling, who's been injured for a long time, a major absentee, he comes out and he says, like, well, you know, yeah, he's on the mend, but it's tough to say. Because, you know, the thing about Smalling is he has a different pain threshold than a lot of other athletes.
Yeah, he's weak, basically.
What are you saying? Like Smalling, oh, I have a boo-boo? Now, even if it were true, and I don't believe for one second that it is, why would you undermine one of your key and best played players like that?
Remember Rick Karlsdrop? What he did to Karlsdrop? I mean, I know in the end they kind of made peace.
Yeah.
But that was...
Or in his first season, they lose 6-1 to Bodo Glimt in the Conference League. He played his B team. But then, of course, made 5 substitutions and sent on a lot of starters and got killed. And he said, oh, this is my point. I only have 13 players. And,
no
and then I have a bunch of other guys who are no good. You know, like, you as an owner, you're saying these are club assets. I have to, you have to look after them. Or coming out and saying, oh, I really want to extend my contract. The club's saying, no, we're going to wait till the end of the season, precisely to see if they can afford him or not. And he's like, well, you know, if I'm not here next season, it's not going to be my decision. Like, what are you saying?
Yeah.
Like, no club owner wants to be treated like that.
No,
ultimately,
no.
100%. They're the ones who pay the bills, and they're the ones who have the control. And we can wave an angry fist at them all we want, but they're the ones who are in charge. Nemanja Matic, another one, right?
Yeah.
Spends a ton of money.
One of his guys as well.
Supposedly one of his guys, yeah. Right? I signed him twice.
Yeah.
And then he's there for one season. Now, that was kind of weird to me because they did get money back from him. Was it like $5 million?
Yeah,
something?
Yeah, from when?
But at the end, he's like, oh, Matic had been talking to, he fell out with him, and he's like, oh, well, you know, Matic didn't want to be here. You know, he'd been talking to Ren, it was Ren where he went, right? For months. You really think, and Ren is a lovely place.
Yes, like, lovely place.
I'm sure it's
no
lovely.
Room, though. I can.
It's not
that.
The eternal city. No. You think Nemanja Matic all of a sudden decides, oh, yeah, for my football ambition, my career.
At 35 years old.
I want to go to Ren, live in France, where I've never lived before, by the way, right? So all these things people saw as, frankly, erratic behaviors. Treatment of Nicolò Zaniolo, another one, right?
Yeah.
And again, with Zaniolo, arguments on both sides, contracts. But there was always something going on.
Always something. I mean, this sacking, I think, to my calculations, takes his compensation packages, if you put them all together, to almost 100 million euros. So he's done really well in getting sacked. But as we said, he's going to turn 61 at the end of the month. I think 26th of January is his birthday. I never thought he would get, after Spurs, a top job. Roma is a top job. I never thought he would. Right now, I see even less. But this is just me. Maybe I'm a bit naive. Maybe I undermined the power of Jorge Mendes, Jose Mourinho's kind of legacy, aura, whatever you want. Where do you see him next? The only place I see him, Gab, before you go,
Wolves.
Is Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
Not even in the Premier League. Not even Wolves would agree to have him back. Not Newcastle, not Forest, not a club like Sevilla in Spain where they might be looking for someone like it. I just don't see anything outside of Saudi Arabia and maybe a national team.
Okay, so there's a couple of things here. One is if you get Mourinho at a Mourinho price tag, you know, paying Mourinho what he was earning at Roma or even more than that, and with the demands from Mourinho, because like you said, they spent 100 million.
Yeah.
They were one of the biggest spending teams in Europe in his first season, right? Then I would agree with you. It's not going to be like a big six. It's going to be one of Europe's top 10, 12 clubs. It's just not going to happen, right? Thing with Saudi is he had the opportunity to go to Saudi before, and he chose not to. And I think part of that is Mourinho is not money is important to Mourinho in the sense that he wants to be respected, and so if he's the Roma, you know, if he signs for Roma, he needs to be the second highest paid manager in Serie A because he's won far more than Pioli and Inzaghi and whoever else. Right? Fine, right? But getting paid 100 million to go to Saudi, if he then falls off the face of the earth and nobody ever talks about him again,
true.
He's playing in front of 10,000 people or coaching in front of 10,000. I think that would make his head explode. He had the chance and he turned it down.
True, he turned it down because he already had a club in Roma. So you remember after the defeat,
if he gets
last season, he gave all this like, I'm staying here, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because he still had a year on his contract. Is it better to go to Saudi Arabia or to go nowhere, be unemployed because that's where he would be and kind of disappear of...
So I think he wants to have another go on a big stage. And I'm sorry, right now, going and managing Saudi is not, is not the big stage,
so
right?
So give me where on the
so
big stage.
So I think in the immediate, could it be a club? I've thought of actually clubs in the Mendes orbit, right?
Yeah, me
Atletico
too.
Atletico Madrid, Sevilla,
no. Yeah,
Wolves.
Sevilla is the only one.
Atletico Madrid, Simeone's not going anywhere. Wolves, I think you might even extend it. I think Marseille is kind of Mendes-ish, let's face it, right?
Yeah, but...
But there's 101 reasons, and everybody has the financial stability, right, requirements now. So it becomes really, really difficult to roll the dice like that. People have suggested MLS. I don't think he's quite there unless, again, It's a club where you have an owner who falls in love with them and says, okay, all our DP money, blah, blah, blah. Let's go big. I think it's going to be a national team. I think that might be the most appealing for him. And I think it could make sense for another reason, too, other than the fact that he's always said he wanted to finish with a national team, blah, blah, blah.
So which one then?
Well,
Sweden. We said Sweden are looking for somebody. Here you go. Ibra as an assistant. Mourinho as a number one.
Ibra has a job now, sort of.
I know.
We can talk about which one. It's not going to be Portugal. But Roberto just arrived. And also, I don't think he would want to manage. I think he'd love to manage Portugal one day. But not as long as Cristiano's there.
Yeah.
And, of course, Cristiano will play for another 15 years because he has to go and catch Christine Sinclair.
Yeah.
With her goal-scoring record. But the reason it would make sense is Mourinho in short bursts. And Mourinho in longer bursts is exhausting, right? Wears players down. Mourinho in short bursts, so where you're only with the players every couple months, he can be really energizing and galvanizing. We've seen that.
Yeah.
Mourinho in knockout competitions.
Yeah.
You may not like his style of play,
exactly.
But if he goes and he turns everything into some kind of gladiator editorial matchup, it could work, right?
Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
So
tell me which one of the big countries.
No, it doesn't need to be a big country.
Well, come on.
No, can it be a Sweden? I'm not saying it will be Sweden, right?
Yeah.
But if I get Mourinho, if I get him jacked up, if I get him G'd up at Sweden, all of a sudden, Alexander Isak, you know, he's like, Isak is my Ibrahimovic and blah, 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 and whatever. They go on a run in a tournament in the Euros or whatever, right?
You know which one is going to come available. The only one. The only one of the big. France will become available, but we know who's coming next. Italy is gone. Spain will be gone. And
you think Spain?
Portugal, we said. Germany have one. The only one would be England, because Guy Southgate is going to leave after the Euros.
And I don't think England, and I don't think the FA would make that decision. No. It's not going to be on that level.
But then I'm not sure if he wants to take it then. Why would you
What if it's Uruguay ahead of the World Cup?
Well, I think Marcelo Bielsa is there for a while.
I'm saying you're talking about the club, right?
Yeah.
Or Argentina post Messi, and he goes and he does it for free with a love. And I'm saying a club where you get players with the kind of a country with the kind of the personality to do that, to embrace that. I think that is the only scenario I can see where he would do well. There's another option. What if Mourinho has his come to Jesus moment? What if he says, you know what?
why is his come to Jesus moment?
Okay, which is this, right? Okay, there's people who love me and there's people who hate me.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to remove my mask and look at myself objectively.
Yeah.
I have won tremendous amounts. I have won 26 trophies or 28 or however he likes to count, right? I've been sacked from my last four jobs, really my last five jobs, because Real Madrid effectively that ended have ended prematurely.
Yeah.
And people think that I'm just a guy who goes to a club and they buy great players for him and I can't manage.
Yeah.
I'm going to prove them otherwise. I've proved it in the past when I won the treble with Porto.
This is not going to happen.
What if I take it back? What if I go and I take some job for like €1 million a year, right? Nice and cheap. And I work with limited resources and I overachieve.
But that's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. The one I could see.
It's never going to happen.
He's like Benfica or Porto.
No, but tell me why it's never going to happen.
Why would Mourinho do that? He doesn't have anything to prove to anyone. Certainly, I'm guaranteed that's not how he sees
it. If he wants a job, well, first of all, he doesn't have anything to prove. No, he doesn't.
He doesn't care.
But if he wants to prove that right now he can do a phenomenal job,
he's going to tell you he's the only one to have won all the European trophies.
No, I know, but what if he removes that? What if he takes a step out of it and he says, what if I go and I do something that's never been done before? Will Chamberlain, you know your basketball, right? Will Chamberlain scored 100 points. He retired with more than 50 points average. People said, oh, look, you're only good because you're selfish and you can't pass the ball. And plus, he was also 7'2", which helped.
Yeah, he was massive.
So what did he do? One season,
He
said, I'm going to lead the league in assists. And what happened? And he did.
Yeah.
Again,
this
NBA
is not
back then.
This is no question.
No, but I always wonder about that, right?
No, I know.
Taking a
it's
step
a
down.
It's a lovely idea.
It's precisely because he has nothing to prove. But precisely because he has all the money and trophies and whatever, right?
So why would you go into that hustle? And by the way,
he enjoys working.
If that goes wrong or bad, it makes it even worse.
It's
so he's not going to take that risk.
He's still
going to
be the guy who won the treble.
It doesn't matter.
He won two trebles, in fact.
Yeah, two. I mean, I would love the idea for him to go back to Unión Laguna or wherever, where he all started.
No, he doesn't have to go that far down the pyramid.
It won't happen. I'll be even surprised if he takes a Sweden job, like a Sweden type of job.
Like a mid-tier national
team.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised even.
I think in the immediate, it's either Mendesphere. It's just one of the things. It's either Mendesphere. He takes a step back in terms of wages and demands, or it's a mid-major or national team.
So, yeah. I was thinking Rafa Benitez went to Celta Vigo. I don't think this is Jose's sphere. However, do you think Brazil?
You mentioned Rafa Benitez and Mourinho. No, I'm just saying. In the same sentence, you know you're disrespecting Mourinho, right?
I was not trying to disrespect you, Jose. I was just saying, you know, some like Benitez who won the Champions League too.
Yeah.
Have gone down really low. I don't think this is Mourinho at all. Do you think, however, that Brazil, for a timing of a week or 10 days, let's say, regret having appointed Dorival Jr. as their national team head coach? Now, I mean, I guess you could maybe break that contract, but and had they not done that, so would they still be looking now for a manager, a head coach? Would Mourinho fit what they want, fit the bill, and would they regret then,
you know what,
not having waited a bit longer?
Anything can happen, right? But you're right, they could still break the contract. If there was a glut of, the same way that Ancelotti was linked to it, a glut of senior players on this Brazil team who know Mourinho, saying, guys, Dorival Jr., come on, man, the dude with 23 jobs in 23 years.
Yeah.
Right? Let's just do it. Just for the Copa America. Let's call him in. He knows us all. You know, no language barrier.
That would be, I'm not his biggest fan, but that would be amazing.
It's not unthinkable. I think it would take a lot of courage to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've been there before with similar types of. Brazil, for all the Jogo Bonito stuff, they won silverware with Dunga, with.
94 was not.
Luis Felipe Scolari.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, that would be tremendous.
It would be amazing.
But again, it wouldn't be a short, it wouldn't be a long term thing. I mean, that could put him back on the map, and then he goes and he jumps and replaces Luis Enrique Paris Saint-Germain.
Oh, let's behave.
Maybe Luis Campos can have a word.
Oh my God.
All right. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, enough Mourinho. Never thought I'd say that because you can never get enough. But still, how about some quick hits?
Let's go, Gab.
Reports in France suggest Paris Saint-Germain are going to offer Kylian Mbappe, quote, far more than 100 million euros a season. In fact, nearly three times as much as he would get in Madrid. Jules, is this plausible and would it even make sense? The person reporting this, Daniel Riolo, of course, is a person you know well and a person very respected.
Yeah, very well connected as well, especially in the PSG sphere. I think they've already offered, by the way, a contract. I mean, when you say far more than 100 million, I think far more is a little bit exaggerated. I think it would be around that. Currently, that's what he earns anyway. He earns 100 million a year.
So he doesn't even get a raise?
He said there's a program on French television tonight, on Thursday night, as we record the show on Thursday morning, where he talks about his money. And he doesn't really neither confirm nor deny that that's how much he earned, 100 million. But he said, listen, I haven't stolen it. You know, this is how the world works, and I've worked really, really hard for it. But yeah,
sorry,
I think
if he sticks around, if he stays, he would get his loyalty bonus on top of that too, right?
Yeah. So the 80 million. I think the way people need to see it and try to understand it outside of the money and the figures and that are obscene, and he would be, I believe, the highest paid player at Real Madrid, although that would be much, much less than PSG. The problematic in a way is if he stays, he would be the king of Paris, there's no doubt. If he goes to Madrid, he would be one of the princes of Madrid, with Vinicius, with Bellingham, with maybe... Right. You see what I mean? So in terms of your status within that dressing room, it's not the same. But then Real Madrid is the biggest club in the world, which PSG isn't. So just in terms of what he wants, where he wants to be and where he wants to, how he wants to be looked at, this is also one of the problematics of the whole story outside of the money and what he wants to achieve, etc. So I think he will make a decision not in May, it will be earlier than that. I don't know when exactly, but yeah.
All right, I'd throw in two other factors as well to consider. Real Madrid will, knock on wood, be around for another 100 years as a big
of course,
dog.
That doesn't move.
You don't know what's going to happen with the Qatari ownership
and
Paris Saint-Germain going forward. I think that also has to be in the back of his mind.
Yeah. Juventus, they're second in Serie A with a 3-0 win over Sassuolo, Gab. They won't go away and they're starting to score more goals.
Yeah, Dusan Vlahovic, two goals.
How about that? Free kick.
By the way, the Consigli, not a good day for the Sassuolo keeper, just put it that way. Yeah, look, he's churning out results, and I wouldn't put too much of a stock into the fact that, you know, they're starting to score more goals, because I don't know that it's not like they're playing more attacking football. It's just that the better players are there. But yeah, they're not giving up. We'll see. They've got some tough fixtures coming up, and I think we'll be able to better assess where they are then, and also better assess Inter, who of course have the Champions League is starting up again.
Yeah.
So that's gonna take a toll on them as well. Howard Webb says VAR made a mistake when it didn't intervene to punish Martin Odegaard for handling the ball when Arsenal played Liverpool at Anfield earlier this season. He goes, I think we all agree it should have been a penalty, everybody except for the referee. But why did it take so long for this to come out?
Isn't it because Howard Webb is waiting for his show, where he does that show with Michael Owen where he explains... So I think this must be a certain day or the time or something like that. Otherwise, why don't you do it like...
I've wondered about this, right? And I like Howard Webb more than most people. However, something like this, you have to have the intelligence, the knowledge of media, to know that the reaction when you come out, 3 weeks later, however long it was, right?
Almost a month, yeah.
People are going to say, oh, it's doing me any good now. Why didn't you speak up straight away, right?
Yeah.
That's how people are going to take it, and it's going to boomerang against you, which, by the way, is how everybody on the UFC show took it on Monday night when this was brought up. Now, let's say, with all due respect to Sky, it's not like they have so much going on that, like, oh, we have a contract to do one show every these many, and Howard, you can't speak outside of it. If Howard Webb says, I got something to say about this, put me on. Sky have 1,000 channels. So Howard.
It's a Premier League show. It's nothing to do with Sky anyway. The Premier League just serves it to all the right holders.
Well, then go and have a word with the Premier League. Yeah. One other thing, I listened to the audio. I'm assuming it was the referee shouting, where the argument was that, you know, to somebody shouting, oh, he's on the floor, right? Because the argument being Odegaard's falling over, so whatever, right?
I can't believe you're going there. That wound you up that I said floor instead of
ground. I don't understand. It's English. These people are English. You should know your own language. It's not a second language. Floors are indoors. Ground are outdoors. I don't, whatever. But maybe I'm difficult. Back to Juve, Max Allegri.
Back to Juve, Gabby. Max Allegri had something to say about the title race with Inter, of course, which may have upset many people.
Yeah, so they asked Beppe Marotta, who's the chief executive of Inter,
former Juve,
who says, like, and formerly Juve, of course, he's like, oh, it's like the hunter and the hare, you know, Inter being the hare running away and Juventus hunting them down, right? Fair enough. They asked Allegri about this, and he said, and Allegri says, yeah, it's a bit like that. You could say it's a bit like cops and robbers, where cops are chasing them up. Oh my God, everybody's like, oh, look, Allegri's having a pop. Allegri's trolling him. You watch the video, you see the context. I don't think Allegri's trying to offend anybody.
No, but it's a good line.
But I think it just comes out accidentally.
Yeah,
speaking of games, or one person chases the other one. He could have said, you know, tag or whatever. So it's kind of funny. I don't think anything sinister.
No,
about Allegri
surely
said. Anthony Martial has been training on his own as he recovers from a flu bug.
Yeah.
Jules, he hasn't played since December 9th. Anything to read into this?
I don't know. Is Ten Hag happy with him? I don't think so. Probably because of the fitness issues. He's got 6 months left on his contract with a year option that only United can trigger. which I don't think they'd be triggering right now. So it feels really much like the end of his time at the club. And I don't think, because it's the end, there's no point for Ten Hag, really, if you think about it. Unless he has to, really, because they're short in numbers or something like that, or something happened to Hoyland, that you don't count on him because he won't be there next season, and you know it.
Apparently, the training on his own part. This isn't like Sancho training on his own.
No, he's just like,
he's just part of his recovery. I do wonder, like, a flu bug that's like 5 weeks? I mean, that's
I think he's had other issues, like, physically and stuff. But yeah, it's not a good look for him, which is a shame because I think his time at United is just going to end up in a really sad way. And sticking with the club, with United, many are delighted, Gav, that Sir Jim Ratcliffe is on the verge of formalising his 25% acquisition of some shares of the club and investing a further £300 million into United. But according to the Times, in 18 months, however, the Glazer could force him to sell his shares.
Yeah, so there's a... So basically, this is in the official SEC documents that were filed with in New York, because obviously they're filed with the stock market. And in the tender document, it says that after 18 months, if the Glazers find another buyer, he has to sell his shares.
He would have no other choice.
Have no other choice.
Okay.
Now, presumably, the $300 million that he's putting in will be as equity. So by then, they'll probably have grown to 25% to maybe 30%. But there's nothing he can do to stop them.
Yeah.
Which, talk about having your cake and eating it too. It's kind of like, all right, let's bring this guy in. You spend $300 million. You run the club. You be the face of the club.
Yeah.
You fix it, make it more valuable. And then we can just kick you to the curb and sell it to somebody else. Or I don't even
make
know.
Make a profit.
Yeah. But technically, I almost also wonder, like, could one Glazer sell it to another Glazer?
Maybe.
And just retake control. This is how it was reported, by the way. This is not my spin on this, right? I'm not a lawyer, as you know, thankfully. I find this extraordinary. And I guess they're really good at negotiating when it comes to this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Also, Jules, according to the filing, the Qatari bid from Sheikh Jassim did not provide enough proof of source of financing.
What a surprise.
And didn't meet the asking price. Oh, you're not surprised.
I'm not surprised at all. I mean, it felt like that when Sheikh Jassim was having this kind of like PR campaign to say how good he was and how great he would be as an owner and this and that, where I think we always knew that it was maybe not that clear cut in a way. So I'm not surprised to see this now coming out in this filing. And again, they're official papers. It's not us.
No, you
can't. Supposing.
These are papers that come from the Glazers and Ratcliffe to file with the stock exchange.
Yeah.
But they can't lie about it because they're lying to their shareholders and they would get into serious trouble.
Exactly.
So. I find it extraordinary too, because a lot of people just assumed, because Qatar is a small place and the emir is all powerful, that, oh, this guy must be, you know, he must be kind of like a stooge for the emir, representing the emir or whatever, right? I'm wondering, like, was he not? Was he just like a private citizen actually in real life? Because if you're the emir, you don't want your name associated with this without making a serious offer at least,
true,
right?
True. From one side of Manchester to the other, Gab, Premier League boss Richard Masters giving evidence before a parliamentary committee said that a date has been set for Manchester City's hearing in relation to their financial fair play violations, all 115 of them.
Yes, a date has been set, but he can't tell us what it is. I'm actually wondering, does he even know? Or like, I'm sorry, I hate to go back to this.
Yeah.
But it's lawyers. Everything's super confidential. I can't even tell you when the hearing is. What are they going to do? Like meet underground? Or like, I don't, put on masks, put on balaclavas and go in the middle of the night so that nobody sees them?
It could be October 2024, which means that we would not know anything, like the end of it.
This thing has been going on
2025.
Like,
I mean, come on.
Why
is it so late?
There's no logical reason for this. There's no logical reason for all the secrecy other than the fact that one set of lawyers, I'm going to guess the city lawyers, have decided to go and lowball it and then just slow it down and whatever. And now the secrecy, it's just so unnecessary. You can't even give us a date. Come on. Barcelona take on Unionistas de Salamanca in the Copa del Rey in a few hours, Jules. But the groups keep turning on Xavi with reports that he's losing some of the players.
Yeah, although he denied it, but it was one of our stories on the ESPN website saying that the players are just not digging it really, not believing so much in him and his ability to get things right or better. He also said himself that if there's no trophy at the end of the season, so no La Liga, no Copa del Rey, or no European trophy, that no Champions League, that he would leave himself.
He shouldn't decide based on trophy. He should decide on whether the team is progressing.
Ivan Toney's ban for betting on football has expired as of yesterday, Wednesday, so he will be eligible again to play at the weekend for Brentford. He says that he wants to play for a club fighting for title and that this month could be the right time for a move. He said that 3 days after being grateful to Brentford for the support they gave him during the ban.
Yeah, exactly.
But look, come on.
Honestly, if you're Brentford, you take the money and run. He has 18 months.
Yeah.
His contract expires in 2025. He has 18 months left, right? So if you want to get Max out, obviously he needs to prove himself. But if he proves himself for 6 months and then you sell him in the summer, you're going to presumably get less of him because he'll be a year away from free agency. I don't know. This whole thing, you know my thoughts on this, him like tweeting out, free, like he's been in prison. Come on, just leave it. Jordan Henderson has been terminated his contract with Al Ettifaq in Saudi Arabia and has been strongly linked with a move to Ajax. Make sense to you, Jules?
No. I mean, you know I'm not a fan of Jordan Henderson, the player, to start with. He's 34 in June. You give him a 2.5-year contract? 2.5-year contract for someone who's 34 in 6 months? I mean, why? How? Why has he done to even... come on.
Maybe he's...
For you, I mean, you would hate that even more than I am.
It's not a Moneyball signing.
Yeah, sticking with Henderson, according to the Telegraph, he hasn't actually been paid by Al Ittihad.
Yeah, this is pretty extraordinary. Now, obviously, people reported on his enormous wages and everything, and it's tax-free in Saudi Arabia. However, he apparently deferred the wages because if you're a UK resident, if you spend more than 90 days in the United Kingdom, then you get classed as a resident, tax resident here.
Yeah.
So then you'd have to pay taxes on that supposedly tax-free money over there. There's now a suggestion that he may not get this money at all. And to be fair, Al Ittihad paid a transfer fee for him. So there's got to be some compensation. He's going to have to give some of that money back, I think.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jules, Gio Reyna is still at Dortmund, and now he's even more competition to get on the pitch. And so we assume he's going to move on. You've written about this.
Yeah, we said on Monday, what are they waiting for? Well, they've been offering him, there being his dad, Claudio, and his agent, new agent, Jorge Mendes.
Uncle George?
Uncle George, to a few clubs from, I don't know, Sevilla to Villarreal to Marseille and Lyon to Wolves, those kind of clubs. I think there is interest.
Offer him to Wolves.
I think there's interest there. Or certainly you start the discussion, if you want to put it in a different way. But we go back again. Today is the 18th of Jan. So there's still 12 days, 13 days to sort something out. I would have thought that by now, considering the situation and the urgency of it, because he really needs to leave now, not in 6 months' time, now, that it would be more advanced than it is. But for now, they're talking to clubs. The good thing, I guess, on their point of view is that there is interest. So it's positive that some clubs want him and then he will find somewhere good for him to continue his career.
I mean, he has 18 months left on his contract. I mean, you're right. I mean, that part makes no sense to me. It's December. The guy never plays. You know they're going to try to bring in Sancho.
You know, since November or October anyway.
Why not start the conversation at that point? I'm sure it's not like Dortmund would have said, nine, Giovanni. You know, you might need to stay here. Like, come on.
I mean, if Donny van de Beek could move on January the 1st.
Exactly.
Not played for 5 years.
It's funny because we've gone back into the Mendes orbit here with these clubs initially. Yeah. But they're all having bad seasons, right? Wolves, Villarreal.
Yeah, I mean, Lyon. Marseille not too bad, but I don't think Marseille is doable, so I don't think they want him there. But yeah. Yeah, no.
It's 59.
But then on the other hand, he's not at the peak of his career and ability. We haven't seen him play for 6 months to start with, so he's never going to get a club like City or Real Madrid or PSG coming for him or Bayern Munich, right? We agree on that.
What I would say, I think what makes most sense for him is to find a club that's stable, where the coach is going to stick around, and a club where he's going to be noticed and in the spotlight. Yeah. Obviously, that's most critical, because then he can think about moving on ahead and making sure that he plays, obviously.
Yeah. Girona beat Rayo Vallecano 3-1 in the Copa del Rey to qualify for the quarterfinals. Gab, I guess there was no hangover from the Almeria draw at the weekend in the league.
No, inside a half an hour, they had everything wrapped up. Christian Stuani scoring twice and Daley Blind. And it's all good. And it's all forgotten. And now we'll see what happens in the league.
Yeah.
Serena Wiegmann has a brand new contract, Jules. Makes sense, right?
Yeah, I think so. She's done really, really well with England, whether you like her or not, or you like the style of football or not. New deal.
She did well because she got to the World Cup final. And
she won the Euros.
And lost it. And won the Euros.
Yeah, she won the Euros. It's two finals in a row still. Right. I'm not the biggest fan again, but
I'm not saying she didn't do well. I'm just saying for people who don't follow women's football, the definition.
One of the highest coaches now in the women's game.
Highest paid, not just one of the highest, because
highest paid. I forgot.
Is he going to make more money than Emma Hayes with the US?
No, just below, I believe. Right. Okay. Not much below, but just below. And obviously 2027, so she can build for the future and create the next generation as well of Lionesses. Everton and Nottingham Forest, as we expected, have both been charged by the Premier League for violating financial stability rules. Gab, what does this mean? And weren't Everton already punished at some point for something?
They were. They were punished for the 3 years, for the cycle before that. There's the new cycle.
Oh, yeah.
They risk being punished again. Now, it's interesting because Everton's defense has been, they're not necessarily disputing the figures.
They're kind of agreeing that they breached,
but they're saying it's unfair to put this on us, which I don't know as a legal argument. Because people are going to say, well, you agreed to it. Then you get into a lot of technical accounting and lawyery stuff. I think they can probably fix some of it, but I think there are going to be more points. And look, people are going to say, well, we dealt with the whole accusation. Oh, why are they picking Everton and Forest and not punishing City and Chelsea, etc. Those are completely different cases. Yeah. This case, too, for Everton and Forest is different from the case before in the sense, or it's under a different process, right? Because they said it's really important that we get this wrapped up before the end of the season. So, you know, we're not punishing clubs for things that happened 3 years ago, which I think makes a lot of sense. It's under the new rules. Presumably in real time, the clubs are communicating with the Premier League financial controllers and they're telling them, hey, you can't extend this player, you can't sign that player, careful because you got a hole here, there's a shortfall there, whatever. If this is actually happening and then the clubs kind of do what they want, and still lose money, then I'm not going to have sympathy for the club.
So I'm with you.
We got to find out, you know, what this actually results in. Hugely hyped Nigerian striker Gift Orban, no relation to Victor, as far as we know. As far as we know, we're not
as
sure.
As far as we know it.
Wasn't picked for the Africa Cup of Nations, but he can cheer himself up with a move to Lyon, where he can hang out with John Textor.
Yeah,
maybe
he
learn
can.
Some skateboarding moves.
I mean, to be fair, I think there's a lot of things to like about that move. First of all, it's not too expensive. I think it's 13 million euros, 1-3. He's 21. It depends what kind of gift you get, okay?
Oh!
If you get the gift from his first 6 months at the club when he moved from Steyrbeek to Ghent in January to June, where he was literally outstanding. On fire, like you just said. That's amazing. I'm not sure how much he can reproduce that. He was way above expected goals, expected assists. Everything he was doing was working. However, if you look at the first 6 months of this season, so the other gift, who was not a starter for Ghent, who still has a decent scoring record, I think he scored 12 goals in all competitions, but not with the same... There was just not that little bit of kind of magic that we saw in the first 6 months. However, I think there is a player in there, whether you play two up front, him and Lacazette a little bit deeper, almost as a 10, whether you play him on his own, where you play him wide, I think he can do a lot of things. He's still very young. There's still a lot of things for him to learn. But I like this signing very, very much. I won't lie.
And is he going to stick around after they get relegated?
But that's the question. I don't know.
No, I just wonder if a relegation dogfight is necessarily... I mean, you're right. There's a big upside there.
Goals,
it's not a lot of money, but you are dropping somebody into a relegation dogfight. And that means that I think you have to then give them time after that to find out who they really are.
And the same could be said about Malik Fofana, the very young and bright Belgian winger that they also signed this window, who, again, is really young and super talented. But in a relegation dogfight, I'm not sure how... well he would be able to express himself.
See, it's not just Tintin and chocolates in Belgium. No, there's great players too.
Football talent too. The early rounds of AFCON haven't been lacking in surprise results, Gab. So what about Namibia beating Tunisia?
I thought this was incredible.
It was great. Namibia, game was terrible.
Namibia ranked 115th in the world. Tunisia ranked 28th in the world.
Yeah.
Namibia is obviously, for those who've never been or don't know, is an enormous country with not many people living in it.
No.
Lots of empty space there.
Yeah.
Tunisia had their chances, but the Namibia goalkeeper made some tremendous saves. They hung in there, and in minute 86, Dion Hotto, who plays for Orlando Pirates in South Africa, yeah, I discovered, going and volleying it in. It was almost like Tunisia were surprised.
Yeah, hey, I mean, look, the scenes were incredible.
It was incredible stuff, and now it's uphill. It's, yeah, very much uphill.
Yeah.
West Ham United are out of the FA Cup, losing their replay to Bristol City 1-0. Jules, they weren't helped by a really poor decision from Saeed Benrahma, who got himself sent off.
Yeah, he got himself sent off for retaliation after a rough tackle. I mean, it was a rough game, I thought. Rough tackle, there's no VAR, of course, when you play outside of the Premier League stadiums in the FA Cup. And he kicked the Bristol player in retaliation, like I said, got sent off. And West Ham, who had a strong, strong team, to be fair, conceded really early after a really back pass from Mavropanos towards Fabianski. After that, chasing the game, not playing well at all. And I just think, I love an upset in the FA Cup. I think it's great. But surely, if you're West Ham, even if you're doing really well in Europe and in the league, the FA Cup has to be one of your priorities, one of the missions, something that you can actually win. And to be knocked out so early against a team like that on a replay, it's just, I think it's just such a bad result.
Ugh, you're just picking on Moyes.
No,
I think, yeah, it would have been good because then, you know, you won a European trophy last year, of course, if you're West Ham. Now, you're in the running for the Europa League, right? You are. You're not among the favorites, but you know what? The favorites play each other. There's upsets and whatever. I mean, look,
you've got more chances to win the FA Cup than to win the Europa League. For the same reason, well, it's the same reasons as you mentioned for Europa League. Then, if the favorite play each other in the FA Cup, a team like West Ham can go and win it.
I'm actually really curious in terms of. Screw it. Let's do this, right? Liverpool are still in the FA Cup, right?
Yeah.
They're better than West Ham, right?
Yeah.
City are still in the FA Cup, right? They're better than West Ham, yeah?
Yeah.
Manchester United are still in the FA Cup. Don't laugh. They're still, they're better.
Not sure they're better than West Ham.
Spurs are still in the FA Cup.
But they will play City, so one of them will be out.
Oh, good point. Oh, you really have access to the next round draw. Very impressive.
Really, Liverpool and City, yes.
Chelsea?
Liverpool are also in the Europa League. Come on, please.
Brighton?
Come on. Liverpool are also in the Europa League.
Wolves?
By the way. So, for me, it's like, if you give them some chance to win the Europa League, you have to give them chance to win the FA Cup as well.
Yeah,
the field is not much stronger. Morocco are many people's favourite, including myself, for the AFCON trophy. So, how did they look in the opener against Tanzania?
Okay, so you can look at this and say, you know, they took the lead with their captain, Romain Saïss, and it's 1-0. But then they only added the extra goals because they won 3-0 in the end after Tanzania went down to 10 men with 20 minutes to go. However, I thought they played some phenomenal football. They were just spreading the ball around.
They
could have scored 4 and 5 by halftime. And Unahi, you know, we talked about the Kevin De Bruyne side foot goal. This was different because he's a lot closer. Yeah. He doesn't need to go
the
and hit
the defender.
It's a 1-2. But again, it's one of those shots where you kind of pass the ball into the back of the net. They really are entertaining, and they've clearly carried that positive energy from the World Cup into the AFCON.
Completely.
DR Congo and Zambia share the spoils, drawing 1-1 in their game. Jules, were you expecting more from Congo?
I thought they were really good, though. And if you haven't seen the goal they conceded, it's a comical goal, really. The goalkeeper is coming out and the defender make a mistake. It's just comical.
The goalkeeper puts it out for a throw-in. And then
he's played quickly.
It takes him forever to get back up and run back. And then they take it quickly. And Kings Kangwa he shoots on goal, but it's like a big lob.
Yeah,
and it's like
the defender should have it. He should even control it, really.
They move in slow motion. And I don't even remember. They stick a leg out to try to intercept. I mean, what are you thinking?
It's a weird clearance that he's trying to do. However, Congo had many chances. They have a really good team, like Akuta and Bakambu, Wissa from Brentford.
And what about my man, Charles Pickle?
Yeah.
From Cremonese.
And Pemba too. And Chancel Mbemba from Marseille. So they have a really good team. And they should have won that game. I don't really worry so much about them going to the next round. But it's a shame because really they should have had the whole 3 points. But I thought they played some really good football and created enough chances to win. So it was, I think, a lot positive despite in the end having that draw because of that mistakes.
By the way, since I know you love your football kits and you're wearing, as an homage to Peter Bosch,
17 out of 17. Again,
you're wearing the PSV shirt. I got a message from our colleague Mark Ogden during the game and saying, what's wrong with, and I don't think he's following the AFCON very closely, he's saying, what's wrong with the Zambia kit?
Yeah.
And I hadn't noticed, but it's obviously it's extremely humid, humid. And so what happens is, even in the first minutes, the players are just sweating all over the place. Depending on, I guess, the material of your kit and the color, obviously, it's either going to look okay, like the Congo guys look, I mean, if you looked at their faces,
they were sweating.
But as he put it, the Zambia guys look like they just come out of the swimming pool wearing their shirts. It's, I don't know. I know who the kit manufacturers are. I don't know what the implications are. It's something to consider. I hope you didn't make these matches, these jerseys, especially for the AFCON, because if you did, you kind of got the climate wrong.
Yeah. Napoli have taken Ahmad Traoré on loan from Bournemouth, Gab. Does he move the needle for your friend, the master of disaster? I mean, he played 3 games, I think, this season. So.
Yeah, he hasn't played since September, didn't play much last year. I think he's a very, very talented player. He's a midfielder who can create play. I think he can theoretically chip in for Lobocka, fill in for Zambo Anguissa. The question is, he hasn't played in forever.
Yeah.
He's not the player he was at Sassuolo, where I thought he was a phenomenal midfielder. So, no, I don't think he moves any. But they're talking like something like 4 or 5 signings this window for Walter Mazzarri. De Laurentiis determined to finish top four.
Yeah.
Wolverhampton Wanderers advanced past Brentford in extra time. 3-2, I think it was. But Jules, there was an interesting twist towards the end.
Yeah, because one of the referee got injured, so the fourth referee had to replace.
It was a linesman, I think.
The linesman, yeah. So the fourth referee has to come on. This is what he's there for as well. And then this guy in the stands, who is a referee on his weekends.
He is a qualified referee. Who referees grassroots.
Yeah, grassroots games. For example, he will be in the under-12s, in a game for under-12s at the weekend. Said, hey, if you want, I can step in and be the fourth referee. And fair enough to him.
Do referees have like their official like referee ID?
Yeah, he must have. Yeah,
I didn't know he wasn't.
No, I guess it's not like you and I. If we're going, hey, I can hold the ball with like 10 minutes at Inter. But the guy is a Wolves fan, so when Cunha scored the winning goal in extra time, he said the worst thing was I could not celebrate because he had to be partial as a referee of the game. Really,
it was funny.
It's a great story.
It was funny too because he's a qualified referee, but like. Being fourth official isn't really about refereeing.
Yeah.
Right? All you got to do is like, oh, there's a substitution. Let me hold
up
the board.
The manager's shouting at you.
You tell him to go back to the technical area. Which are all things that refereeing at grassroots level, he would never deal with because there are no boards. There's no technical area. It's just a bunch of parents on the sideline.
Exactly.
So for him, it was a totally new experience.
It was
so sweet.
Amazing.
Afterwards, the referees do the warm down and then they kind of get together and do like a post-mortem and how they thought the game. They included him in it.
Oh, I love it.
It was so sweet.
It's a great experience.
This guy's heroes are Premier League referees, right? Just our heroes might be, you know, Erling Haaland and Bruno Fernandes. His heroes
are David Coote.
Exactly. He's a big David Coote poster as well.
Giorgio Chiellini has taken a job with LAFC in a player development role. Gab, wasn't he supposed to come back to Juve in the front office?
I think that's what everybody talks about, because about how smart Chiellini is and how loyal to the club. I think he will, but he also said, Jules, that I want my kids to finish school here. It's the middle of the school year, right? So I think it's good for him. I think he can... It's a player development role. I think it's going to be more sort of front office-y, recruitment-y. So you learn that side of the business, or at least the way they do it in MLS. Speak English every day, which he was already doing to some degree, but obviously in MLS there's a lot of Spanish-speaking players. Just learn the corporate world. He said, I want to learn. I mean, the man is an educated man. For all you think about him,
true.
He is one of those rare professional successful true. Footballers who has both a BA and a master's in business administration, right? L'Equipe says, say Redbird, who of course own Milan, plan to sell to lose.
Yeah.
Now they deny it, but L'Equipe saying, no. We know. What happened to this MCO thing? What's the story here?
Well, we heard it as well before. I think it's been for sale for quite a while. I don't think it's a case of like multi-club ownership that hasn't gone well for Red Bull. I'm not sure Red Bull really are in that kind of mindset. They just want to make some money on it, and I think they will. It looks like they're selling to another US...
Otro.
Yeah, exactly.
Who, by the way, is made up of former Redbird guys.
Yeah, that's right, isn't it? Yeah, so he stays in the family, kind of. And I don't know if that was always a strategy from day one when they bought Toulouse and got it back promoted from the second division to the third, and they obviously won the French Cup, which was great. They're still in Europe, by the way. They beat Liverpool too. So they've had really good moments.
Wait till they play Milan.
And the club is much better now compared to where it was when they bought it. So well done to them. I think that was always just a strategy.
I think they paid 10 million for him when they were in the second division. Yeah. And I'm guessing it's going to be north of 100 million.
Yeah,
right?
Probably around that.
Now, they've obviously also put in money over the years.
Yeah, true.
So it's not quite, oh, look, we 10x'd.
No, but yeah, it's going to be a good profit for them. Marco Reus's contract is up at the end of the season and doesn't look like he's sticking around, Gab. Jadon Sancho is going to be sad.
And I'm going to be sad too. Marco Reus, one of my favorite Germans.
They're not that many.
Yeah, well, you know, Albert Einstein and
Raphael Honigstein,
and yeah. no, I'm kidding. I like others too. Like he's 35, his contract's expiring. I'm sure he's on big wages. Yeah. There was a suggestion that he could go back to Borussia Mönchengladbach, where of course is where it all started out. That's kind of been knocked back. He wants to keep playing. I don't know if he can play every week, but he can be an impact sub, even for a biggish team.
Yeah,
I agree. So I'm pretty excited about that. And talking of comebacks, too. Sorry, I didn't put this in the quick hits. I want to get you on it. Talking about German guys who are old, same age as Marco Reus, former World Cup winner.
Oh, Jerome Boateng.
Yes.
Salernitana. I mean...
Oh, it's not done with Salernitana. Oh. I think he's been offered to everybody.
Yeah, true.
Salernitana, who are bottom of the table.
Yeah,
Salernitana, where his old teammate, Frank... I bet Frank Ribéry has something to do with this, right? And for those who don't know,
so.
Frank Ribéry, when he was about... Maybe this is maybe 10 years ago, when he turned 55, he moved to Salernitana.
Yeah, not 10 years ago.
I was making a joke.
Yeah, I know, but
really old.
He finished his career there, yeah.
He finished his career there. He absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's like recruiting players for them.
I don't know, but yeah, he could only come from there.
But Boateng hasn't played in 6 months.
I know, he was terrible when he was at Lyon. When I say terrible, it was shockingly bad. I mean, I think people in Zaghi need some experience, he said. Okay, you might have experience... mentally with Boateng, but the guy can't run anymore and I'm not sure he can do much. So
he can lift weights if you go on his Instagram.
Yeah,
account.
True. That's what
he's
doing.
Some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
Sergio Reguilón is reportedly joining Brentford on loan after a stint at Manchester United. Jules, I guess I get why Spurs don't need 10 billion left backs.
Yeah.
But are you kind of surprised that United sent him back to Spurs given the injury to Malacia? I know Dalot's done well and Shaw's.
Just think he'd been not great when he played. But still, he's still good enough for Brentford to think, oh yeah, let's have him.
Especially if Brentford pay a back three.
Yeah, exactly. Enrico Henry has that long injury, so they probably need someone. They need someone on that left-hand side. So for them, it makes sense. Far more sense than when United signed Reguilón. And by the way, if you go back and listen to that show when he signed, and we dissed it massively because we said, why would United take someone like him? And we were right.
Short-term cover for
we were right again. It was terrible for them. That's why they sent him back. Roberto Mancini is the world's highest-paid national team head coach, and he's had a bumpy few days, Gab.
Yeah. So, first of all, before the tournament, he gave a press conference where he sent three of his players home. And the reason he sent them home is... and again, one is, I'm blanking on their name, but he's 34. He's a well-established player. One of them was a reserve goalkeeper, and the other one was a defender. And but again, the other two weren't necessarily starters or potential starters. But basically, he said, look, I'll take you. They were in the preliminary squad. Like, I'll take you to the Asian Cup, but, you know, you might not play. And they said basically, okay, this is his version of events.
Yeah.
Well, then, if we're not playing, don't take us. Or, you know, which he went, he ranted about. And if that's what they said, then I think he's right.
Yeah.
You don't just get to be part of the team if you're guaranteed a spot, you know. I mean, that's a bit silly. It's a bit different for the older guy, Salman Al-Faraj. He said, look, I just said I don't want to play the friendlies because I'm 34 years old and I'm old. And you see me every week in the Saudi Pro League. You know what I can do. And that puts it on a slightly different footing. A lot of fans are already annoyed with Mancini. It would have gotten worse if they'd screwed up against Oman. This is pretty remarkable.
You can see incredible
video about this.
Incredible.
Okay, so Saudi are playing Oman. They're heavily favored, and they are not good.
Not good at all.
Scored a nice goal, but it's 1-1. It's minute 96, and Saudi Arabia score, Al-Balahi scoring for them. The assistant referee's flag goes up, and you can see in real time, even on your television, that the flag should not have gone up. He's not offside. He's obviously not offside, right? And so the goal is disallowed. Then the VAR steps in.
Yeah.
And they says something to the referee. This is a guy named fella named Evans. I think he might be Australian. And he talked for a long time. And then referee says, okay, fine, disallowed goal. Which then makes you wonder what the hell would.
Yeah, because the Oman players celebrate.
And so they all start celebrating.
Yeah,
and then a few minutes later, he's like, oh, wait, sorry, did you see this goal? No, sorry.
So do you think the goal should stand? It was like, he could not understand.
I think there was a miscommunication. It's the only thing I can think of.
It was so weird. It was
either the guy malfunctioned, you know, had a system error in his brain, or there was a miscommunication.
Yeah.
He didn't understand, you know, one of them said, offside, not offside, whatever, right? These are the penalties in international football, but it must have really been soul crushing for Oman. And I also want to say this about this: like, we've seen. It's a reminder, though. I want to praise the referee for doing something. If you make a mistake and you're in a football match, you can always fix it, right? Memo to the numbskull who took charge of the Spurs disallowed goal against Liverpool. Or sorry, Liverpool goal disallowed against Spurs, right? You can always fix it.
Yeah.
Forget the protocol. It's not like, oh, no, the check is over. I can't fix it. No, you can fix it. The feud between Karim Benzema and French Interior Minister Gerald Darmanin will continue in the courts, Jules.
Yeah, that's right. Karim filed a defamation lawsuit against Darmanin. If you remember, Darmanin accused him at the time a few months ago to have links to the
Muslim Brotherhood.
Exactly.
Muslim Brotherhood, by the way, is defined as a terrorist organization in France.
It's extreme. Islamism, if you want, or some people see it like that. And Karim, at the time already, was really unhappy. It took a bit of time, I think, for his lawyer to do everything, and now it's finally official. So let's see where that goes.
Well, I can say this. The Muslim Brotherhood, by the way, is defined as a terrorist organization, not just in France, but in Saudi Arabia, which is where Karim Benzema moved to. I feel pretty confident in Mohammed bin Salman's secret service that if Karim Benzema really had links to the Muslim Brotherhood, which is a terrorist organization in Saudi Arabia, that they would find out about it.
I agree.
I think it's nonsense. I think Darmanin might want to move on with his day job.
Yeah, exactly. Aitana Bonmati and Leo Messi were crowned at FIFA's The Best Awards on Monday night. Gab, I know what you think about these awards, and I bet you think even less of them now.
Not really, because I thought very little of them before, and it's really just a way to celebrate great players, and it really doesn't matter who finished first, second, third, or fourth. It's how I feel about the Ballon d'Or.
I think players care, though, as I say.
Okay,
I always say.
The nice thing about this is that you can go on the FIFA website and you can see there's four constituencies who vote, right? There's national team captains, there's coaches, there's media, and there's sort of a fan vote, right?
Yeah.
And they're all weighted and whatever, and you get points for each one.
But there's transparency. That's what you mean. You can see who
everybody
votes.
There's total transparency.
So you like that.
I really like that part. However, they also have total transparency on the rules. They say that the awards reward the best in each category, regardless of championship or nationality, for their respective achievements during the period from December 19th to August 20th, 2023. Okay? August 20th, 2023. This means that it was after the World Cup and does not include the first 6 months of this European season.
Yeah.
Right? So you're choosing this based on 8 months.
Yeah.
I would love to know all these people who voted for Lionel Messi. Really? Come on. Come clean. Say, oh, no. Damn. I thought it was. I thought it included the World Cup.
Print. Surely they could not read. They haven't read the rules.
Because, as I know, you correct me if I'm wrong, right? What did Messi do after the World Cup?
He won the Leagues Cup with Inter Miami. He scored a hat-trick against Curaçao with Argentina.
He played some games for Paris Saint-Germain, yeah?
Yeah.
Scored some goals. But you're going to compare this to Erling Haaland? Again, from December 19th to August 20th. That's what the freaking award says.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get it. Whatever.
I think Erling Haaland has been robbed. Not winning any individual trophies after the season that he had, is a disgrace. And the same could be said for Rodri. I would have loved Kylian, my boy, to win something, but this is nonsense.
This thing is so dysfunctional that, like, you know, and because the jury is so all over the place. Do you know for the goalkeeping award, they have like a top three. They gave you a list of five options. You know why they had to do that? They had to do that because there's people who I don't think even follow football at all who might have voted for weirdo randos instead, yeah, like they used to do back in the day. And by the way, didn't Bono finish like second or third?
Yeah.
Yeah. What great feats did he do after December 19, 2023, other than getting turfed out of his club?
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, wait. Sorry. Like I said, I don't care about
them. Yeah, you don't like them. We know.
Jules, this brings us to an end, but we got to come back on Monday.
Of course.
Because we got our league football back, some big games. And we'll also bring you back on the Italian Super Cup in Saudi Arabia,
yeah,
which I'm sure
can't
wait about.
Can't wait.
Until then, love the game, love your neighbor, love yourself.
Real quick, what's the easiest choice you can make? Window seat over middle? Taco Tuesday over salad? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/gabjewels, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/gabjewels now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/gabjewels.